So I just thought before we start on our regular subject of Halachas Neiros, just one or two points about Tisha B'Av that's coming up tomorrow night, and basically just the difference of Tisha B'Av that it falls out this year on Thursday. So the halacha is that the Gemara brings that the Beis HaMikdash was ignited, the fire in the Beis HaMikdash was ignited, the destruction started on Tisha B'Av, but it started on Tisha B'Av afternoon, and most of the fire took place on the night and the following day, and therefore a lot of it, actually the actual destruction and the actual damage that was done to the building, took place mainly on the 10th, and therefore the Gemara says that it's correct to continue the avelus of the 9 days for another whole day, and into the 10th, and not just the 9th. The 9th is the day that it started. 9th is the day that we know that's Mor de Poranos. The 9th is the day that the Meraglim came back, and all the other things that happened, both the Bat Migdosh and the story of Beitar, all happened on the 9th of Av, and therefore the 9th is the day that we fast. But because the burning continued to the next day, the avelus continued into the 10th. There's a machlokes, the 10th till midday, the 10th till the half, till the end of the day, different opinions. And the minig, the general minig, is till chatzos, and after chatzos, there's no more reason to be misabel. But there are opinions that hold the whole day. And therefore, in a regular year, because the avelus continues, so we treat the 10th, at least until chatzos, according to those who know till chatzos, as the 9 days. Therefore, laundry and washing and haircuts and music and meat and wine all remain asur until the 10th. The exception obviously will be if Tisha B'Av is on a Shabbos, so then the fast gets pushed off to Sunday, so that is the 10th, so then there's no reason to be misabel on the 11th. So therefore, on such a case, then everything's mutar and moitzi Tisha B'Av. There's a separate issue that one doesn't eat meat after a day that you've been fasting. A day that's been of like Tisha B'Av, you don't eat meat at night, so therefore people don't eat meat to break their fast of Tisha B'Av. But otherwise, the other restrictions have ended with the end of the fast. But that's the exceptional case when Tisha B'Av falls out on a Shabbos and gets pushed up to a Sunday. But a regular Tisha B'Av falls out on a Monday. So then Tuesday till half day we keep there are certain kulas, people who need or sort of smitzvah, we're much, much easier going. It's not as chomer as a shvur shechalmoy, but we keep the avelus till the 10th. Here we have a problem this year. Is that Tisha B'Av falls out on a Thursday, and as a result, the time to prepare for Shabbos is limited. Therefore, Kavod Shabbos is important to us. How do we deal with the avelus of the 10th of Av versus the need for Kavod Shabbos that's coming up on Friday? And therefore, things that have to do with Kavod Shabbos, we're going to be makel. So therefore, to wash and to have a haircut, and those things one can do already Friday morning. And the Poskim ask, why Friday morning? I mean, you can do it on Friday afternoon. What's so important? And the answer is because we say the mitzvah, the hashkim, the haktim, the choy Shabbos, which said that the correct way to do your preparations for Shabbos is to start earlier. And as a result, therefore, it becomes mutter to wash and to have haircuts already Friday morning. And there's one other exception, and that is laundry. Laundry can be done already, if necessary, on Thursday night. And the reason for that brought down is because Takanas Ezra is not to do laundry on Friday. Today, where we have washing machines, so the Poskim are really more maker of doing laundry on a Friday. In the olden days, laundry was a whole day job, and if you did laundry on a Friday, you wouldn't have time to do anything else. So Lev Chazal said, do not do laundry on a Friday, do laundry on a Thursday. So it seems to be it's not a din in Thursday, it's a din in not doing it on Friday. Today, where we can put it, load into the machine, go away for an hour or two, come back, put into the dryer, go away, come back, and how much effort have you put in? You put in a total of 10, 15 minutes of loading, unloading, put in the dryer, taking it out, maybe spend a few minutes folding. I mean, it seems totally irrelevant, this halacha. Nevertheless, the Poskim say, if Ezra made it a takanah to do laundry on Thursday, we do laundry on Thursday, not on Friday. In extenuating circumstances, we will allow laundry on a Friday. So here's a case of extenuating circumstances that we've got a whole week, we've got 10 days worth of dirty laundry, we're going to have to wear for Shabbos, so we want to wash our laundry. But because of the fact that we're trying to avoid to do it on Friday, so then we're allowed to do it on Thursday night. What I did see interesting is that since the whole kula of doing laundry before the end of the avelos of the 10th of the day, meaning before Chatzos or even already Thursday night, is an inyan of Kavod Shabbos. Like we said, you can have a shower in the morning, you can have a haircut in the morning, why leave it to the end of the day and put under pressure? You can have your haircut already in the morning, you don't have to wait for the afternoon. These are things that have to do with Shabbos. So too, the laundry must be something which is related to Shabbos. So to wash clothing that you don't need for Shabbos, l'chore, you don't have the heter to do it on a Thursday night. That's what we're saying, you do it on Thursday night. So then you can ask, well, so then you can do it on Thursday, on Friday, and then you're going to be doing laundry on a Friday because you don't want to do it Thursday night. Okay, so that agreed. But it would be an interesting case. Let's say differently. What I'm saying is that the whole heter of doing laundry early is because we want to be Mekayim Kavod Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos has 2 points. First of all, we want clean clothing for Shabbos. And second of all, we don't want to be involved the whole day Friday with washing clothing. We want to do other things. We want to clean our house as well. We want to cook food. We want to do the things that need to be done. We need to take showers and haircuts. So therefore, we don't want to spend the whole day with laundry. So we've given a heter to do the laundry early so that you can do other things for Kavod Shabbos. But then the chayyot all means that only laundry that's l'chor Shabbos. So to launder clothing that you don't need for Shabbos, l'chor doesn't fall under the scatter, is not mutter. You can't do it early, and you can't do it late because it's Friday. You can't do it early because it's not covered Shabbos, and you can't do it late because it's also not covered Shabbos. What happens to someone who's catching a flight on Sunday? They're going away for the summer, and they're catching a flight on Sunday, so if you can start your laundry already on Thursday night, then you can finish it on Motzei Shabbos. By Sunday, you can catch your flight. And if I tell you now that all you can wash is what you need for Shabbos, and everything else will be left for Motzei Shabbos, then you'll never get your laundry done. You'll never be able to pack your suitcases. A good question, and I don't think I have the right to answer it. I think a person should ask a competent rabbinical authority to get a clear answer on that one. What could be, I'm just throwing in a thought, is that to run an empty washing machine sounds a bit ridiculous. So if you're just washing a bit of clothing for Shabbos and the machine's empty, so at the same time you can throw in more. We have that svara in different cases. Sometimes we say you can't do it. Like someone who has to do laundry on Chol HaMoed, so we'll tell him no, you can't throw anything, just anything and anything in. You wash exactly what you need and nothing more. But here, l'chor, it's already a lot more mako. It's not an isur malacha. It's an inyan of not doing laundry. Once you do laundry, it's essentially pretty much the same effort whether you load a half a machine or a full machine. So l'chor, you can fill the machine, put in your Shabbos clothing and fill the machine. But that's already my svara. I haven't seen that written anywhere. But that's what I want to bring up. So again, Tisha B'Av, the fire continued. It was only started on the 9th, it continued until the 10th. The normal case is that we continue the avelos of the 9 days till at least Chatzos of the 10th. And because the 10th this year, the 10th of Av this year is on a Friday, so those things that pertain to Kavod Shabbos, so that doesn't apply to eating meat, it doesn't apply to drinking wine or listening to music, but it does apply to laundering, and does apply to haircuts and to washing, personal washing, then that can all be done earlier as in Friday morning, and laundry maybe even Thursday evening. So that's just something I wanted to bring up. So on a day, I'll bring up connected to Shabbos, so we'll bring it up, and now we're going to back to our regular topic of Hadlakas Neiros. So the last thing we left off with was the order of the brachas, the bracha and the lighting. As we said, the halacha is that whenever we make a bracha, we make a bracha over Lathi Yason. That means before we make the mitzvah, we do the bracha, and afterwards we do the mitzvah. The exception to the rule is a ger who goes to the mikveh. He's not Jewish, so he can't make the bracha before he goes into the mikveh, and therefore he first goes to the mikveh and then makes the bracha. And therefore, all tefillahs are done like that. Tefillah with a tes, as in all mikveh dunkings, not tefillah as in praying. And from there it also comes to Netilas Yadayim. That's why Netilas Yadayim, we wash our hands and then we make the bracha, and not the other way around, because your hands are dirty. Why shouldn't we make a bracha when your hands are dirty if you have to wash them first before you make a bracha? What about over Lassi Yasson? So we always try that some part of the mitzvah takes place after the bracha. Therefore, we say that when you make the bracha on a tis yadayim, you should do it before you dry your hands. And drying the hands is part of the mitzvah, because you shouldn't eat bread with wet hands. So therefore, you wash your hands, you make the bracha, and then you dry them. So too with the candles, or the Shabbos candles. We said that there's a machlokes haposkim as to are you mekabel Shabbos through hadlaka or not. The general psak is that you are not mekabel Shabbos with hadlakas neros, but, and here's a big but, is women took upon themselves to go with the shita that holds if you are mekabel Shabbos with hadlakas neros, and therefore this is binding on women. Not on men, it's binding on women, and therefore women should know that if they once they lit candles for Shabbos, it is binding and they are mekabel Shabbos, and they cannot do any more melachos, which would mean that once you made the bracha on the candles, you've been mekabel Shabbos. So how can you make the bracha and then light? Because once you're mekabel Shabbos, you can't light candles anymore. Therefore, we reverse the order. We first light the candles, then we make the bracha. But we want some idea to be overlas v'yason, that the bracha should precede the mitzvah. So that's why a woman light candles, cover their eyes or cover the candles, and then they make the bracha, and then they uncover their eyes, and they benefit from the light, and that is a form of overlas v'yason. Men who are not, who weren't mekabel this minik, so they go with ikadin that lighting candles is not a kabbalah, and they can light candles the regular way, they make the bracha, and then light the candles, and we're going to see enough kaminah from that in a moment, a different way of lighting candles in the house. So we'll get to that in a moment, but since I want to just repeat that, so we have that in mind as we continue. So question is, what happens if a woman lit candles and she forgot to make a bracha? So the mitzvah is done. The mitzvah is done. You have candles at the table. That's not considered not being mekayem. The mitzvah is done. There's lacking a bracha. So what can she do? So it depends on the circumstances. Well, first of all, we can only say the mitzvah is done if the candles were lit lichor Shabbos. If it just happens to be the candles were burning, she lit them as preparation, or her husband lit them as preparation, but they weren't done for lichor Shabbos, then of course extinguish them and light them again if it's still before Shkia, because they weren't, that you're not making the mitzvah by having a light on. There's a mitzvah in igniting, of actually doing the hadlaka. If she was mekabel Shabbos and through her hadlaka, the mele, the candles were lit lichor Shabbos, so now there's nothing much that she can do because she was mekabel Shabbos through the hadlaka. But here's the but, and the but is that if you lit the candles and you didn't make the bracha, but it is still enough time that had you not lit the candles, you could still light them, then you can still make the bracha. In other words, say you lit the candles with the siren at 40 minutes before Shkia, and you were distracted, disturbed, someone disturbed you in the middle, and you walked off and forgot to make the bracha, and 10 minutes later is like, oh my gosh, I didn't make the bracha. So 10 minutes later, still half an hour before Shkia, you go back to the candles, cover your eyes, make the bracha, and be nene afresh, and then it will be good, because you can still make a bracha on the continuation. This is a mitzvah that continues, and you can make the bracha on the continuation, the same way you come into a sukkah, you start eating, and then halfway through, you remember that you haven't made leisha basukkah. You can still make leisha basukkah if you're going to continue eating. If you finish eating, then the bracha, then the mitzvah is over. But if you haven't, the mitzvah is continuing, you can still make a bracha on the continuation. The only thing is that once Shabbos comes in, then you don't make a bracha anymore, because at that point, you couldn't light it. Now, another point is that, as we've said, that there are two parts to Hadlachos Neiris. One is that you should have lots of light at the table so that you appreciate your food and you should enjoy your food. It's part of Oneg Shabbos. So the Kavod Shabbos, that when you put out more Neiros than you would normally do, that also shows that you've prepared your house for the arrival of Shabbos. And thirdly, there's an Indian, what we call Shalom Bayis, that if a person trips over something that makes him upset and angry, and we want to avoid that as much as possible, and therefore we say that any area of your home that is going to be used on Shabbos, there's a mitzvah to have sufficient light in that area so that you don't trip over anything. That's called the mitzvah Shalom Bayis. Sufficient light does not mean that you have to put a 3,000 watt projector, even a night light, or opening the tree and letting the light come in from a street light. There's all cases of sufficient light so that you can navigate your way through the dark and it's not totally dark. But nevertheless, it's still a mitzvah. Therefore, we would like that a person, when they set up their home for Friday night, that there should be light in the house. All lights that are turned on should be done lichor Shabbos. So today, Baruch Hashem, we live in a easy situation where we don't go spread out candles in this room and that room. Candles we light at the Shabbos table, but electric light we turn on. You make sure that there's light in the passageway. You make sure there's light in the bathrooms. Even in the bedrooms, you might have a Shabbos lamp that you can cover, so that can cover in a mutadika way that you can go to sleep, or you have a time switch in your bedroom, whatever it is. And if not, one should try and make an effort that the bedrooms are not totally dark, even though you want them dark when you go to sleep. So if you have an ensuite bathroom, you should know that you're turning on the light in that bathroom as a mitzvah to have light in your bedroom. So when you come into your bedroom, you can leave the bathroom door open and the light shines into the bedroom and you can move around and you can see. When you're ready to go to sleep, you close the bathroom door. And so therefore, and that's why you put a light on in the passageway so that you can open the bedroom door and get light to come in. All these lights are a mitzvah. And therefore, the correct way to do things is to turn on these lights before Shabbos, to do the mitzvah, the lechavot. As we said, a light that was on during the day and left burning into Shabbos, true, you're not sitting in the dark. You've at least been mekayim that din, that you're not sitting in the dark, but you lose out on the idea of lighting lichvo Shabbos. It's not just the candles at the table. Every light in the house is lichvo Shabbos. Ad kedei kach, that if a person lit his candles without intention of them being Shabbos candles, so you turned on a light which was not intended to be a Shabbos light, you haven't been mekayim the mitzvah. So true, lemaisa, you can tell me that. I've never done the mitzvah because I never thought of it. No, no. We, woman lights the candles, that way they make a bracha, and they mekayim the mitzvah. It's zikha preferable, it's for sure preferable that the lights, the rest of the lights in the house should also be turned off. So if you're the type of house, I have the light here right now. I'm sitting here at the computer, got the light on. If I leave it on from now till Shabbos, I'll have lights in my living room, but I haven't done the lichvo Shabbos. So on Friday afternoon, after Plag HaMincha, or close, even better, close to the time that I'm going to be Mekabel Shabbos, I should turn this electric light off and turn it on again, lichvo Shabbos. That will be a mitzvah. I and my wife is lighting candles. Correct. That is also a mitzvah, but that doesn't stop me from doing this. If no lights in the house, even the candles, were not done lichvo Shabbos, then you're not Mekayim the Bracha, you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah, and at least the candles should be extinguished and relit with a bracha as long as it is still Friday and not yet Shkia, not yet Shabbos. The halacha says that when lighting the candles, from a practical point of view, when you put the match to the candle and now ignite the wick that you are going to light, whether it's a wax candle or an oil candle, you should keep the match there long enough that it's the expression of the pasuk is that most of the wick has caught fire. Now, it's not a question you've got a wick that's a whole centimeter long, so I've got to make sure that 6 millimeters are caught fire. That's not what they're referring to. They're referring to the fact that when you take the match away, you're certain that the flame will continue burning on its own and I won't have to help it. That is how long you need to stay there. You need to keep the match next to the wick till the point that you're certain that when you take the match away, and if you took it away early and now the wick flickers and the possibility of it going off, could be you're not yotzer. Nafkamina, we'll see in a moment that if it does go out, were you Mekabel Shabbos with this type of hadlocha, we're going to say no. Although we said that the minhag ha'anoshim is to do Mekabel Shabbos when they light candles, but that's only to light it properly. So just put the match against the wick and pull the match away and it burned for half a second, and then it went out. You don't say that's, oh, I was madig and I can't relight it. No, that's not considered hadlaka, therefore it's not considered Kabbalah. There's a discussion in the poskim as to, are you mechuyev in lighting candles in a place that has a ready light? They didn't have electric light in the old days, but they did have sunlight, and therefore if a person lights in a place where there is bright sunlight, so there's discussion, are you mechuyev the mitzvah? Shraga petira maya honey. If I have a candle next to a big bonfire, what does it help to add one candle to an existing big fire, is the expression of Chazal. Now, when you light candles during the day, meaning after Plag HaMincha, but it's bright outside, there's sunlight coming in, so there you have that, you know that later on the sun's going to set and the house would be dark, and maybe your candles work, and therefore that's why you can light candles already during the day. But if you have electric light in the house, and the electric light is going to stay on at least the whole time that the candles are burning and even beyond, so what did your candles do that you can make a bracha on? So So this is machlokas. I passed him how to do it, and the correct thing is to be choshish to all the days and try to do it in a way that fits everybody. Yes, there are opinions that hold you can, right? And therefore, if this is what you've done until now, I don't think you don't need to do tshuva. But oy vey, I lit all my candles when the electric light was burning, and now I've made a bracha l'matala for the last 40 years. No, there are opinions that you will mekayim it, but there is a way to improve. And how is that? So the Shmir Shabbos gives three eitzes. The first eitzah, he says, is when the wife lights the candles by the Shabbos table, the lights in that room should be off. And even though she can't light them after she lit candles, because now she lit candles, she's made the bracha, she's mekabel Shabbos, someone else who's in the house with her, who has not yet been mekabel Shabbos, as we said, when a woman's mekabel Shabbos hadlaka, it's not binding on the other household members. So someone else is in the house, they will turn on the electric lights. And of course, they'd love to do it before Shabbos. It's wonderful, but that way she lit in time that there was dark in the house, and the candles added to the light that was needed in the house. And someone else added more light. It doesn't take away from her. The other way is to have if you don't have the other people available at that time of day, or you just don't, or you're living on your own, so you can have a time switch. You have a time switch that makes the electric lights go off. And during that time that they're off, you light your candles, and then the time will make the electric light come on afterwards, and that, again, not a problem of the fact that you lit it before, and now there's lots of extra light. And the third way, this way you don't have to rely on other people, and this way I think it's a lot simpler to be mekayim, is that you turn on the electric lights before Shabbos. So as we said before, if a woman is lighting candles on Shabbos, the way to do it, so in the olden days, she lit in six different rooms. So you did all the five rooms that are not the dining room before. And the last candles she lit are the ones by the table, because those are the ones that are the Ikka candles. Those are the ones that she's going to be Makabal Shabbos with. And therefore, she should light them last. So too, in today, where we have electric light, you turn on the lights before Shabbos, especially the ones that are going to be burning in the same place where you light your Shabbos candles. So now, even if you say, well, I can't light Shabbos candles where there's electric light, because what am I moisif? No, the electric light itself is before Shabbos. So the two together are making my Shabbos candles. So we're not saying that she has to go around the whole house and turn on and turn off all the lights. Someone else can do that. Or whoever turns on the light in the bathroom for Shabbos will always turn on the light in the bathroom for Shabbos. But the light in the living room, which is the one that is causing the halachic problem for the candles by the table, that one should be turned off and turned on again lichvoy Shabbos at the time of Hadlakas Neros, before the candles are lit, and then immediately go and light the candles. And when you make the bracha on the candles, you have in mind the electric light as well. We might have mentioned this, but he brings it down because there is a discussion. We said women are mekabel Shabbos with Hadlakas Neros. What does that mean? At which point of Hadlakas Neros is she mekabel Shabbos? So obviously, not if she's lighting two candles, it's not when she lights the first one, because you can't light the second one. If she's lighting 10 candles, you can't say she lights one and nine you're stuck with. No, it's the last of the candles at the table. But is it the last candle, or is it the bracha? The naftumina will be in respect to the match. Some say it's the bracha, so you light the last candle, then you make a bracha, and at that moment, you mekabel Shabbos. So that means if you're using a match to light the candles, so you can extinguish the match and however you want, and that's not a problem because you have not yet been mekabel Shabbos. So you light the candles, extinguish the match, and then make the bracha. But there is an opinion that holds that the actual lighting of the candles and not the bracha that is the Kabbalah Shabbos. And therefore, once you lit the very last candle, it's now Shabbos. From this point forward, you can't do any melacha, including the melacha of mechabe, which means to extinguish. So you can't extinguish the match that you've used to light the candle. And therefore, all you can do is place the match into a fire-safe dish and let it burn itself out. You can drop the match into the floor, as long as it's not done in a way that you for sure extinguish it that way. But it means that you can't actively extinguish the match. You just have to let it burn itself out. Obviously, be careful not to put it down on a flammable surface or anything like that. But that's just a practicality. But lehalacha, there are those who are machmir. Again, this is a question of minig. But there are those who are machmir that once the last candle is lit, you don't extinguish the match. You just put it down somewhere safe and let it burn out by itself. So a follow-up on that would be if suddenly there is a wind that blows out the candles. Now, obviously, we're not talking about a regular wind, because we tell people that you should light your candles in a place where the wind won't blow them out. So therefore, don't put your candles next to the window or next to the front door. So at the moment someone opens the window or opens the front door, your candles go out. That's obviously not the correct place to light your candles. And if you're stuck of where to put them, you can have a glass box made or whatever. But put your candles in a safe place. But nevertheless, for some reason, you have a fan in the room and one of the kids came and decided to change the direction of the fan and face them directly at your candles. Or you have a little boy in the house who likes to play ball, and the ball went straight into the candles or something like that. Your candles have gone out. So what's the din? The din is that you may not relight them because you lit them properly. You cannot relight the candles anymore because of the Shabbos. The maximum you can do is get someone else to do. If it is before the Zman, before Shkia, then you can find another Jew who has not yet been Makabel Shabbos to light them. If it's after Shkia, then the maximum you can do is go to the Goy to light them for you. But then it's only been a shmoshes once about 13, 14 minutes have passed, and even that you can't do. And hopefully you have some electric light to rely on. Now here's an interesting case. What happens if, based on what we said before, those women who have the minhag to be makabel Shabbos with the actual hadlock, with the actual lighting, that means before the bracha, and therefore they're makbid to put the match down and not to blow it out. What would be if a woman lit candles before she got to the bracha, that kid went and turned that fan and all the candles went. So according to what we said, she has the minhag that she's makabel Shabbos when she lights the very last candle. If she's lit the very last candle at Shabbos, she can't relight them. But she hasn't made the bracha yet. So what to do? So you get, at this point, you get someone else who has not yet been makabel Shabbos. You get them to relight these candles that have been blown out. Now, what's interesting is that this person who lights them, he actually gets to say the bracha. The woman who lit them initially, and then they got blown out by some, as I said, by some kid who turned a fan or something like that, she lost the bracha. She can't light anymore, so she lost the bracha. So actually, then, in such a case, the person who reignites them for her gets the mitzvah of making the bracha in her place. If, however, when that kid turned the fan, he only put out some of the candles and there's still at least one burning, then it's still her mitzvah that is still burning. So even if someone comes and relights the ones that went out and replaces them, the mitzvah is still hers. Her initial hadlocha still exists and she can make the bracha. Which also, if the candles went out before the last candle was lit, then again you can go back and carry on lighting. That's not a problem. Because we said the Kabbalah, even those who hold of Kabbalah, that Shabbos starts with the hadlaka, with the lighting, that's only after the last candle is lit, not the second last and not the third last. As we pointed out before, if the candles went out not because of a fan, but because they weren't lit properly, because you weren't careful enough to hold the match to the wick for long enough that it should be able to burn properly, then that's not considered hadlaka, and therefore it's not considered Kabbalah, and therefore you can go back and relight. Now here's another interesting halacha. If a woman is holding the match, and the match went out, so simplest is you don't take a second match, strike it, and continue. What happens if the matchbox is empty, or you just don't feel like it? Can you just take the half-burnt match, stick it into the candle that you lit, and then continue? And the answer is no, because we don't use a ner mitzvah to light a ner chol. What does that mean? The typical example is that if you have Hanukkah candles and you want to light other candles so that you have light in your house, you can't go take a fire from the Hanukkah candles and light your candles that you're going to be putting next to your dishes, next to your, in your kitchen so you can wash your dishes, because that's a weekday candle, that's a Choldika light, and you're taking it from a light of mitzvah. So too, the Shabbos candles considered as a light of mitzvah, and you don't take it for a use which is lower. Now, you're going to tell me, but I'm taking it in order to light another candle. I'm taking from one mitzvah candle to light another mitzvah candle. So yes, the Poskim just pointed out, but they say the problem is that the match that you use in the intermediary is not a Shabbos candle. The intermediary is just exactly that, an intermediary which you're going to then extinguish or put it down or let it go out. So it's not a mitzvah candle, therefore to light the match from an existing Shabbos candle, or the same thing is you have, say, two women, a woman and a married daughter or daughter-in-law, whatever, are lighting candles. So the second one who comes along to light takes out a match and says, oh, so much easier. You strike and the whole thing's worn out of the side of the box and you try and it doesn't go, you know what? Just take a light from the existing candles. No, that is also, you should not take a light from the existing candles because of the fact that the match itself is considered a chol dikur fire and you don't make a chol fire from a mitzvah fire. What would be permissible is, if need be, you don't have another match or whatever, or you don't feel like it, you can take the unlit candle itself and put it by the lit candle and then transfer the fire from candle one to candle two without an intermediary, because that's going from a nara mitzvah to a nara mitzvah, and that would be more.
On Hanukkah, can't one use then the shamash?
You can use the shamash, because the shamash is not considered a nara mitzvah, and therefore if while lighting the Hanukkah candles your match went out, or the candle that you're using, the shamash that you're using went out, and now you want to continue lighting the Hanukkah candles, or you want to use to light Shabbos candles, or whatever it is, if you take it from an existing shamash, the shamash is not considered a nara mitzvah, then yes, you may take a light from the shamash for any purpose, including non-mitzvah purpose. So that follows on that you can't use a mitzvah candle for any other use. So another example that he brings that one has to avoid is generally if you have wax candles, you heat up the bottom of the wax candle and make it melt a little bit. Then when you put it into the candlestick or the candlestick holder, that because it's soft and wet, and then when it cools, it hardens and sticks, it fits better into the candlestick and won't fall over. So you come and you see that one of them is loose. Your husband has done a good job. He's taken out the candles and he's polished the candlesticks. He's put everything beautifully, and one of them he forgot or one of them properly. And you come and you're lighting your candles and you get to one and you see that the whole thing's shaking. So you want to put the fire underneath it to make it soft and then put it back into the candlestick. That you have to be careful not to use a mitzvah fire in order to warm up the candles to put it back into the, so that it's fit nice into the candlestick. You can use the match that you're holding, strike another match, but don't put it on top of an existing candle in order to do this action. I think we'll hold it there for this week. And this is the last shiur of this month. We're now Tisha B'Av coming up in his mind for the next 3 weeks in Emet Hashem. Until you're on the track and we come back for Elul. Successful Tisha B'Av, which is Tisha B'Av that turns to Yoga and Simcha. Hashem, we should only get good things.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hello, Bella.